that enormously. I do not have a great voice, and that's why I enjoyed singing with this choir. We put it together and kind of enjoyed it for what it was. But I need to tell you also that I'm here in a serving capacity. If you need someone that needs a visit or someone who's sick or ill or laid aside, I'd be happy to visit with them and pray with them and talk with them. The only problem is I don't know where they are. I have a couple times gone with Brother Roddy and with him to visit people, and I'm glad to do that with anybody that wants to do it. But if somebody says, you know, Tom, you ought to see Mr. Snook, Snook, Snook. He's around here somewhere. I don't know where he is. I will never see him unless by the providence of God we should wreck his car or something like that. Anyhow, we are delighted to be with you. It's cold in Pennsylvania. That's what it is every winter in Pennsylvania. But I like it, to tell you the truth. I like the cold weather. I don't want it all year. But for 4 or 5 months, it's great to go out and split a bunch of wood and put it in your fireplace and sit there and look at the snow falling down while you're warm and cozy. When was the last time that happened to me? About 4 times in the last 5 or 6 days. But we are glad to be here. I'm going to read in John 3. Pretty familiar passage, but it happens to be one of those passages that we never see it too often or read it too much. And I'll read the passage in John 3. I'll read it right down through verse 15. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, it must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so in every one is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of earthly, heavenly things? And no man hath descended unto heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in verses 16 and 17, we're given the great clue of God's love. I've always been kind of fascinated with these passages, and I want to work for the next few times I'm privileged to minister here on some of the questions that are given to the Master. Questions for the Master, I said. It just hit me one day, I couldn't tell you when, but not a long time ago, it hit me one day that one of the great ways of teaching that Jesus used was answering questions. And when I taught for many years, I used to ask questions and I'd have to answer them myself, and that didn't go very far, I didn't think. I would encourage the students to ask me questions, and somebody would raise his hand and said, Do you think the Phillies will win the pennant? And you know, I'm in the middle of a Hebrew exegesis, and he wants to know if the Phillies will win the... So it was frustrating. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord Jesus is a master when it comes to the matter of answers. And when I got reading through the Gospels and writing down this question, this question, this question, it was a great impression on my mind. And with preachers, a funny thing happens. When they get impressed, they think everybody should be impressed. The next thing you know, they're dragging you through a long list of things, hoping that you'll grab something on the way in that particular thing. That is a preacher's problem. And you have to be patient with them because they only get about oh, I don't know what they get, but a certain amount of your time for those particular things, probably less time than the daily news. But the question that stands out in this text in John 3 is one you can't really miss. Nicodemus, with his faults and his good points, whatever they happen to be, says to the Lord, he says, how can a man be born again? How can he be born again? The Lord has already prompted that thought in verse 3. He says, except a man is born again. Your translation may say born from above. That's quite legitimate if you have that. But he says, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's been born again or born from above. He just says it. And Nicodemus presses a little more in that particular thing. You know, could he enter back into your mother's womb? That seems highly unlikely, don't you think? Whatever the case happens to be, Nicodemus, I don't think, was making fun of Jesus. I think he was asking honestly, and I think he's one of the Pharisees that came out well when the whole story was told over. But he says, how can he be born again? It seems by the time you're an old man, I guess it wouldn't be much difference if you're only 50, but by that particular time it would seem to be too late to have a physical birth again. And the Lord Jesus makes it plain that he's not really talking about a physical birth, but he's talking about a birth that comes from the Holy Spirit. Comes from above, not here. And he says, everybody who is going to be part of the kingdom of God must be born first of the flesh. That's your human birth. And second of the Spirit. And that's the divine birth that comes into your life when trusting Jesus, you accept his love and are brought into the family of God. Anybody, he says, who hopes to see the kingdom of God has to be born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. As I grew up, my chief guide in a lot of things was my grandfather. It's hard to know how you grab onto some member of the family, but anyhow, I enjoyed him. When I trusted Jesus, when I was 17 years old, I discovered that my grandfather had no good religious instincts about Jesus, although he knew an awful lot of terms and words. And for a while, there was a kind of a chasm between us, because my mother and I were enthused for Jesus, and my grandfather was not. That situation continued for a long, long time. And many years later, I was coming home, and my mother said, you know, you need to go and see your grandfather. She said, he's had a change in his life. He was in his 80s. So I went to see him. I found him at his house. He was sitting in a swing, swinging, and he was glad to see me. And we hugged each other like you do that sort of thing and that sort. And I sat back in the chair, and he said, I want to tell you, Tom. He said, I've had a change in my life. He said, I was sitting here thinking of how I had lived and the dumb things I'd done and a bunch of stuff one day. And he said, all at once it hit me that what I had missed was Jesus. And he said, I want to tell you now, he said, that I am trusting Jesus. And he said, one of these days, he said, I'm going to die, and I want you to come and speak at the funeral. And he said, I want you to tell everybody's there what I'm telling you now. He said, I'll tell as many as I can. But he said, no doubt a lot will just come to see what it looked like at the end. And he said, I want you to tell that too. And I sat back and I said, yes, that's right. Many men argued with him. More than one evangelist thought they'd pull him in. Even I thought that we had more power. I don't know how to say it. But I had almost given up. Well, in fact, almost, I don't know what to tell you. But suddenly, you see, the truth of the Spirit crushed his soul and his pride. And in spite of everything else, he said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And the last few weeks of his life were weeks of testimony. Not on a platform, but in life with people. And what I was glad for was that he had been born of the flesh, but now had been born of the Spirit. And that's what we want for people within the range of our knowledge and our understanding. The question is, how can I be born again? Well, it's by the Spirit. That's right. And some people would like to give you a formula that you bow down 3 times, go to communion twice, give an offering once, and you're in. You've never heard anything quite that simplistic, but things come like that. And yet somehow all of those things miss the mark. The mark for being born again is trusting Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit reassure you that your sins are forgiven and that your life is eternal by the goodness and the mercy of God. Well, when I look at the text, I say, first of all, you have to face the problem. The problem is that you cannot see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. Dream, think, hope, draw pictures, do anything you want. But you cannot have eternal life. You cannot see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. I have a feeling that probably just about everybody in this room knows that. But it's one of those things that I've had to drill into my mind. You meet the nicest people sometimes in one connection or another, and I'm not going to deny their niceness, but that is not what saves people. It's not going to church. It's not being religious. It's not having 40 Bibles. It's a matter of confessing faith in Jesus Christ and being born of the Spirit. You have to face that problem realistically. Now, we who are born again have faced it by the grace of God. It's not that we were such great thinkers, but the Holy Spirit confounded us by the Word of God. The night that I trusted Jesus, the whole Boy Scout was at this meeting group for this evangelistic meeting in a church near our farm. The preacher talked about sin and how sin condemned us and how sin could be cured and how we could be saved. And when the meeting was over, he said, as when the preaching was over, he said, if there are those here that would like to trust Jesus Christ, he said, I wish they would come here so I could talk with them and we could, etc. My mother almost jumped over 2 rows of pews. She had been dealing these things too. She practically ran to the front of the church. You want to be embarrassed, guys. You want to be embarrassed is having your mother jump out of the chair and say hallelujah and run to the front of the church. Well, I got over being embarrassed. Took me about 15 minutes. But I got over being embarrassed, and that night I too trusted Jesus. And the one thing that we understood was the fact that His love had brought us into the knowledge of God, not because we were good, you know that, but because the Holy Spirit had touched us with the news of salvation, and we had responded to that. I had never read the passage about being born again, so I didn't ask that question. That came somewhat later. But when it came later, then I understood just a little bit. I had relatively little control over my own birth. I didn't have a whole lot over my spiritual birth, except in both cases, giving up what I might have thought was my power and accepting what was given. So you face the problem. When you get the problem faced and you understand that you can't see the kingdom of God without being born again, you know, there are other problems, too. Do you know what they are? Well, I'm telling you what one of them is, and that's known as the watch. I'm getting mine where I can see it. You have a dandy one over here in the wall, but I hate to stare at a wall. And you have a good one in the back, but my eyes don't see that well. And I've had several people offer me watches because they thought that I'd be better off to be quiet if I could see it. And so there I'm in reasonable contact with things, and you shouldn't look as nervous as audiences often do. You'll forgive me for a break in my thought. But the concept is pretty simple. How can one be born again? He can't be by any human means, but by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus says He comes and lists as He does. We can't control Him, but we take advantage of what He gives to us. And we are born again as assurance by what the Spirit is. So I've tried to say that after you face the problem, then you listen simply to the Lord. You listen simply to the Lord, like in verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know that you are born of water. Born of Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit showing you your need and how God meets that need and how beautiful it is. I like to rejoice in those particular things, and every time I think of them and God's goodness with them, I just feel like saying hallelujah in a strong way, in some particular way. So what you do is that you listen to the Lord. Go through the passage, if you will. You listen to the Lord, and the Lord will say it again and again. You must be born again, as in verse 7. And that the work of the Spirit in verse 8 is accomplished by the Spirit. But the one thing that he gives us in concept is this paying attention to what he says when he picks it up down in verse 12. And there he says, I've told you these things, the spiritual, you don't believe, and I don't think you won't believe the heavenly things either. No man ascended up to heaven, but that one that came down from heaven. That's the Son of Man. And then in verse 14, he takes an Old Testament illustration from the book of Numbers. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as Moses did it, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The account back in Numbers is a thrilling account. The Israelites had been punished, and a bunch of wild serpents were running around biting people and knocking them off in their unbelief and their illness. God was punishing them in a terrific way. But when Moses took intercession for them, God gave him a tone. He said, take one of these serpents and put it on this pole and put it up as a sign of the fact that people are going against them from it. Put it up, and anybody who looks at it, will be released from the plague. He didn't say anybody who came and paid for it. He didn't come and say anybody who kissed it. But anybody who just looked at it would be forgiven from this plague. Because in looking at it, they were saying, God, we know that you are the only God, and you're the only God we're going to serve. But all they had to do was look at it. You know, if you or I had made the arrangements, I don't know about you, if I had made the arrangements, I would have tried to done something more dramatic. Maybe they would have had to come up and bite his tail. I don't know. But I would have certainly thought something was more dramatic than just looking at it. But by the grace of God, he didn't put a great burden on them. He gave them a gracious word. Look at it. I don't mean that it was, I don't know, I'm not sure I can say this right. I don't mean that you just kind of went, I saw it. I think you looked at it in faith, understanding that God was healing the plague of the serpents that was in the camp. And it wasn't long till they were raking them up and getting rid of them. But there were those who didn't look too. There always seemed to be some. So when it comes down to being born again, you look to the Lord. You understand what Jesus has said. And you look to him. I don't mean so much physically. I don't want you to have a crucifix hung from the top of your house. But in your heart and in your mind, you recognize that Jesus Christ died for you. And that's salvific when it comes to those particular things. The Lord reminds us again in verse 13 that nobody can be born again without the reality of this born new birth. And I tell you, we miss that sometimes. I think you hear a great deal more about it than in a lot of places where I go. And I'm not sure why that is, because I only go to evangelical places, but sometimes their emphases are different. I've always enjoyed the emphasis placed down here for audiences of any size, any sort, and whatnot. Even though you know that many of the people are there, know Jesus, praise the Lord. But you want them to remember, because they will have that truth to share with others. And you want others to hear and understand it where they are too. So we face the problem, how can you be born again? We listen to the Lord. The concept is that we look to him and receive the gift of the Spirit for eternal life. And I put a third thing in general nature. You honor the work of God, the direction of God. After chapter 3 and verse 14 with the serpent, you honor God's character, his work and his direction, what they happen to be. So we preach the gospel. We teach and shout that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. sometimes it's awfully complicated to try to play it to make it so clear that everybody can understand it. But you know, I'm not opposed to understanding things. But if getting men saved and women saved depend upon my ability to make it clear, there are going to be a lot of people in trouble. We preach and teach the truths, and we look for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives. And where we see evidence of that or think we see evidence, we encourage it by the Word and by fellowship and what we can do. But actually, preachers can yell at you all night long and not necessarily get you into heaven. I had an interesting experience at the Pine Bush Bible Camp years ago. I was there with another brother, a big evangelistic fellow from Baltimore, a huge man. And I was the Bible teacher, and he was the evangelist. We were an interesting pair. But we were sitting on the steps one afternoon, and a little boy from the inner part of New York, little Spanish boy, came up to us and said to my friend, he said, I have a friend who doesn't believe in Jesus. He said, would you come and talk to him? And the preacher said, why don't you bring him here? He was a big heavy man on a hot day. He said, why don't you bring him here? So in about 5 or 6 minutes, this fellow came back, bringing this little boy, maybe 7 or 8, I don't know. And we sat there and talked with him, and I really believe after a while he really trusted Christ. Now, sometimes we can't know those things, but you can work with your one. And so the two children went off happy, and the next day this boy came back again, and he had another boy. And before that day was over, he came back with another boy. He was dragging them in. And after about the fourth child, the evangelist said to him, he said, listen, he said, you hear the gospel every day. You hear what we're saying and praying. He said, why can't you lead these little boys to Jesus? And the boy slumped forward and he said, I have never trusted Jesus. And then there were tears everywhere. Good tears, you understand. And my friend talked with him for a while. And after a while, he brightened. I can't tell you a whole finish this thing because I don't know. I only know him for about 2 more years. But he went back home and became a soul winner in his Sunday school. And the last time I saw him was working as a waiter at a Christian camp or Christian camp or whatever, something like that. And I said, what are you doing in your spare time? He said, I've got 2 people. I'm trying to get them into heaven. Well, that's maybe not the way you'd like to say it. But you don't have to have giant understanding. You have to know that Jesus Christ died for you. And you believe that. And when you're born of the Spirit, then the kingdom of God is our portion for life and for eternity. I think in my own life, you have to turn from yourself, no matter how good you think you are, how bad you think you are. You have to turn from those things and remember what Jesus said. Look at me. Now, that's not the exact words, but in effect. That's what he said. See me. See that I'm the Son of God. See that I'm going to provide life for those that believe. And in seeing me and trusting me and believing in what I've told you, you will be born again. Well, a chap said to me one day, he said, if I get born again, will I have a better temper? Not necessarily, I said, because some people that are born again like to dabble around with the old nature. I don't know what you would have said. Tell me later. But I said, God will give you the power. Maybe not in 5 minutes, but God will give you the power to reorder your life on spiritual terms because the Spirit is in you. I don't know how that ever played out, but I remember it distinctly. If he ever got rid of his temper, I don't know. I don't want to get totally rid of mine. I get angry about once every 5 years. Well, ask my wife. But whatever the case is, I can never thank the Lord enough that I heard the gospel and believed it, and had the assurance of the Spirit that I was a child of God. Somehow the reality of the kingdom of God gets more gripping as you get older. I'm not gloomy about that, and I'm not terribly old. I'm in my early 80s, full of pep. I can scribble with the children. Whatever the case happens to be, I don't feel any particular threats by it all. But somehow it becomes more precious as you realize the love of Jesus and how full your life is when you're brought to Him. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again?" And Jesus said, "By yielding to the Spirit, believing on me, taking God's word, and the Holy Spirit will bring you into the kingdom. Regardless of what other things you may have had or known or thought about, you're not made perfect right away, but you're brought into the place of God and His love, and in that sense you're complete. Because when we're owned by God and bought by God, we are God's, and nothing can take us out of His hand." I have a whole bunch of other questions, far more than I have opportunities to share them with you, but I will share some more. I will go, Lord willing, you understand what that means, don't you? Lord willing, I will go to the question of Thomas next time in John, where he says, "How can we know the way?" And then I will look at other questions. Some of the questions are asked by scoffers. Some are asked by confused believers. Some are asked by people that don't know anything at all. So I'll try to take a simple sample and talk about that thing. But tonight I'm concerned with this one thing. When somebody says, "Tom, how can I know I'm going to heaven? How can I know I'm going to the kingdom of God?" The question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And this is not a magical thing that suddenly your hair stands on end. But you know in your heart that Jesus Christ has died for you, and the Spirit of God is witnessing in your life to know that. And you can stand back and say, "Yes, sir, I'm born again." We don't write a big sign and carry it on our heads to amuse the world, but we have the reality of that in our lives. We're born again. You have lots of lives. Not everybody keeps as many records as I do, but if anything strikes me, you make a note on it. And I had this situation on an airplane where a man had some difficulty, and I was talking with him about it, and I mentioned something about the Lord, and he said, "Do you know the Lord?" And I said, "Yes, I know the Lord." And he said, "I do too." And I said, "Well, then you should be," and I forget how I said it, "you should be turning all these matters over to Him." And he said, "You're right." He said, maybe we ought to sing a song of praise right now, he said, as a testimony to God. You never know about these enthusiastic fellas. We made some token at that particular thing, and I don't know if it was good or bad to this day. But I'll tell you this, when you know that you're born again, it's not that you're suddenly rich or wiser or smarter. When you know that you're born again, you're on good terms with God. And you can say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God the Father, for the gift of life. Not mere physical life, but spiritual life with God and God forever." If anyone here tonight doubts their own salvation, I'd be glad to talk with you. I'm not an arguer or debater, but I'd be glad to talk with you. And if anybody suddenly feels the reality of trusting Jesus, the elders in a meeting like this would like to know that too. The important thing is not just to ask questions, it's to get the answer and let the answer make your life complete. How can a man be born again? By the Spirit, as he believes in Jesus Christ. and becomes a child of God. Shall we pray? We are thankful, Father, for your blessing to us. Thankful for this place. Thankful for its testimony for the gospel and for Christian living. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that so mightily uphold the truth in this community. And we pray your blessing for them, for the children, the older people, all of us together, Lord. But Lord, if anyone tonight feels that hunger of heart, we pray they'd not go away with just a question, but would come to know the truth through faith in the Lord Jesus. So we give you thanks tonight with joy in our own soul and with thanksgiving for eternal life through Jesus. We pray in his name.